the little key domain of understanding our nature and what prevents us from feeling happy, and I'm using that word loosely, prevents us from feeling well, and makes and causes us to be dependent on circumstances for our sense of well-being. So we think that the bell will make us happy. Secret to happiness is the bell ringing. But what really brings the happiness when the bell rings? Is it the bell? And what really brings the unhappiness before the bell rings? Anybody willing to say? What do you think makes it uncomfortable before the bell rings?
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty, okay. Not knowing. Because of the culture of yes, always on a schedule. Aha, so if the sitting was timed and you knew exactly how long you were sitting, would you think that would? Yeah. Putting our trust in me. So here's basically, this is something we can all look for. I think there is something about the uncertainty that is a source of stress for us. But even if it's uncertainty, if we were to just pay attention to the feeling of uncertainty, what happens? We know, oh, this is what uncertainty feels like. What happened? That's a mental state. Uncertainty, uneasiness, not knowing. It's a state of mind. What happens when we notice that? If that becomes the object of mindfulness. What's that? It passes. Yeah, it has no fuel. It gets its fuel from not noticing it, from not really looking at it directly. And mindfulness with sati sampajanya we talked about earlier, it has three qualities that are really important that are sometimes lost in the popularization of secular mindfulness, as wonderful as it is, and how many people are getting turned on to mindfulness. Some of the nuanced part of what it really means to be mindful are lost. And and the Buddha was very clear that there are three qualities of a moment of mindfulness. That mindfulness has a quality of directness. In other words, it's face to face with what you're noticing. So it's not just like I know that I feel a little uncertain. It's knowing, oh, this is uncertainty. So it's face to face, it's direct. The second quality of mindfulness is it has a quality of intimacy, of it's called in teachings, it's translated as non-superficiality. It's intimate. It's like you sink into what you're noticing. You feel that feeling of uncertainty. You don't just kind of notice it at a distance. You feel it. And then, so there's directness, there's non-superficial. And the third part, which is where we realize the Dharma, one of the places we realize the Dharma, is it has the quality of being sustained. So direct, face-to-face, non-superficial, and sustained. So if we connect with that feeling of uncertainty, feel it, and sustain our attention, then we are actually experiencing its momentariness, its changing nature, and it just loses its steam. And it usually will morph into some other experience, but is no longer in a moment, in sustained moments of mindfulness, it's no longer a source of stress. It becomes a source of insight and a source of freedom. The very same thing that when we were glancing at created this kind of coloring in our mind and this feeling of vague stress. Once you turn attention to it and you stay there, it's a different, completely different ball game. This is why mindfulness, it's said, this is really central in the Buddha's, in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Mindfulness is considered, it's considered a, how can I, what kind of language should I use here? Mindfulness is a cause of the of lessening what's called akusala, or the unwholesome. It lessens the stress of the unwholesome qualities that are in our mind, or the hindrances, restlessness, worry, grasping, aversion, doubt. It lessens the akusala, and it enhances the kusala, the wholesome. So it makes the wholesome gladdening experiences, when you feel the heart gladdened by generosity, for example, it enhances the feeling. When it meets the stress of uncertainty, it lessens that feeling. So it has a purifying quality, it has an enhancing quality, and it has a deconditioning quality for the things that cause us stress. So again, we talk about mindfulness, be mindful what you're doing. We may underestimate its power when we just treat it as something that helps you function better in your work life. It has the power to literally liberate our heart from the unwholesome habits that tend to wreck our life, because they tend to compound, and they tend to get fed. Once you meet them with mindfulness, it's a completely different thing. But getting back to the time that bell rings, a real secret in our, maybe I'll save this for a Dharma talk, but I'm more curious from you right now, any noticings about working with physical discomfort or pain, or did any question come up about that before we continue? Any, or were you all taking your early afternoon nap? Please.
That was what was coming up for me, is I was feeling sleepy.
Feeling but sleepy.
In the past, I would just drift off. But I think my practice has helped me. Yes, as you said, I don't know that I was mindful of it, but I certainly thought about the words you spoke about in terms of the back, the front. That really helped me.
So aware of your... Less sleepy. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Great. So less sleepy. Please.
I'm so used to this. It's hardly even, it's not an ache or anything. I just get suddenly hot.
You get hot. Change in temperature. That's very common. And it's hot in here when the doors are closed. But I know that there is that energetic change that brings a lot of heat. Yes. Yeah. So was that unpleasant?
Yes.
Did you, and how did you approach that unpleasantness? Just felt the unpleasantness.
Yeah, and where was it?
Where you felt it in your body, uh-huh.
And just keeping on paying attention as it was there. And then because I know it so well.
It was just an old familiar friend,
the
heat and the unpleasant. And then what happened?
And then it went away.
It went away. Yes, well, yeah, when you feel the power of attention grow, you're actually paying attention to something different at that time. You're paying attention to the quality of your mind, and that often comes with a valence of pleasantness whenever we feel strength of mind, yeah. So the feeling tone is also a changing condition. Mm-hmm. Anybody on this side of the room? Please. Did you had a big jerk?
Yeah.
when you started to fall asleep?
Yeah.
Everybody knows about meditative whiplash. I'm surprised you haven't experienced that before. No, that's a very natural thing. So just so you know, the first day of a retreat, and this is one of the things that changes as we go along a little while, is the conditions of coming together like this. We experience in the quiet, and especially with the lights down a little bit, we experience a lot more tranquility, the power of practicing together, the quiet, the having our mind and our body. The first thing that arises is more tranquility. But tranquility, if it's matched with low energy, so there's this balance between energy, vital energy, and tranquility. When tranquility is high and energy is low, whiplash. When energy is high and tranquility is low, a lot of restlessness, agitation. And we will often fluctuate a lot between those two on the first day. Energy, restlessness, and dullness. And ideally, that's a moment of insight into the quality of energy is low. So what we try to do, at least the first day, until the energy system builds its own vital energy back on its own through the cultivation of practice, in the meantime, we do something that will arouse a little energy. And you probably know this already, but the easiest and most accessible and I find most helpful is not just to note that there's dullness, but to actually stand up. Do standing practice. Just that little extra energy to hold your body up. You can practice beautifully with standing. And that just a little activation of the joints, these are the fire points, it wakes our body up a little bit and it balances the tranquility. And there are other antidotes for dullness, and the walking and doing it really thoroughly will help build things up. Yeah. Sometimes works that way. How about working with physical pain? Anyone have any challenge with pain, and how did you manage it? Uh-huh.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Uh-huh. Did you first just let yourself feel that stiffness in the shoulder? Uh-huh. So it's really important to experiment with seeing the difference between discomfort or pain and suffering. To be able to know that it's possible to have that discomfort and have your mind be completely balanced, and not reactive at all, not suffering about it. So we start to know that's a commonly used phrase, you know, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. The suffering is the mental reaction to it. And so before we make a shift, I think it's perfectly fine to make a change in your posture. But before you do that, really helpful to see, can I have this feeling of discomfort, and can I meet it with a balanced mind and an open heart? And not suffer about it. Okay, this... Be able to know, oh, this is stiffness. This is unpleasant. I found that one of the most revelatory moments was when I had intense searing pain in my knee to the point where my whole body, I would talk about heat, I was just perspiring from head to toe. But because I built up some mental strength, I'm sitting with this intense pain and sweating, and my mind was happy. I didn't think that was possible, that you could have pain and not suffer. And it's not to get too proud about it or egotistical about it, because then you become stupid, which I did, and I sat with that pain too long and caused myself knee problems. But enough so that you can actually see the difference between pain and suffering, really useful. Anybody else want to describe what they, please. It lessened. The pain lessened when in your back when you brought attention to it.
Yeah, and it was still there, but it was like
not so intense. Yeah. What often makes things intense is our reaction to them. And once once mindfulness lights on it, mindfulness is not reactive. And so it pulls the stickiness, pulls the compounding quality out of the pain, and then it's just mildly irritating. Thank you. So I can tell this is a veteran group. Appreciate your practice so far. So let's do a little walking and really walk very thoroughly. Take equal care with the transition to walking. Walk for 15 minutes thoroughly, and then land on your cushion without breaking the momentum of the walking, and then we'll have another sitting and a talk and bring our day to a close. But don't keep your eye on the end of the day. If you do notice that your mind jumping to the end, just notice, oh, there's the mind associating my well-being with getting things over with. And use it as a reminder of your love of being right where you are, okay? And I will be available to meet one-on-one. I'm actually going to do it in the next room, but tell me if there are three people who would want to check in briefly, raise your hand. One? Anybody else? Two? Three? Okay.